Let me start again. I'm going to have to get a recorder that operates itself. Anyway, the Apostle Paul was previously called Saul, and he was the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was out to put him out of business. And he went with papers toward Damascus, that of any that he found professing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem, and that they would be either stoned or imprisoned or put to death or whatever. So he was not seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither was any of us. Until the Lord Jesus sought us. Look at look at Romans 9. Romans 9. Where he says, I am found by them that sought me not. It's in Romans 10. But Isaiah is very bold. That's Romans 10, 20. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. So the Apostle Paul was a pattern for them that should come after, and he wasn't seeking the Lord Jesus Christ when Christ found him and brought him into his faith. He was called an apostle. He was ordained an apostle before the foundation of the world. He was to be a foundation stone in the house, in the temple, in that spiritual temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, which house and temple the people of God are. Look at Ephesians 1, 20. And 22. Let's go back to verse 18. I'm sorry, it's chapter 2. For through him we both, that is Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We were foreigners and strangers, being Gentiles. In Amos, he said, you only have I known of all peoples of the earth. So we were outcasts under the law. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are builded upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now the temple was built on Mount Moriah, and the Lord Jesus Christ is a picture of that mountain, and is called the mountain of the house of the Lord. He is the rock. He's the chief cornerstone that whole building is set on.
Amen.
The apostles and prophets and everybody else is built on him. Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Now we are in the Lord. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and we are in God the Father and God the Son. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, Timotheus, unto the church of God, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how about that? We're in God the Father, and we're in God the Son. And the Lord said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Once God has determined to save us, it was essentially done. God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Amen. And you hath he chosen unto eternal life and eternal glory. So Paul was called to be an apostle. He was called an apostle because he was an appointed apostle by God the Father according to his counsel and according to what was laid down. According to the covenant of grace comes out of the counsel of God, his determinate counsel, what he had purposed in himself from eternity. The covenant of grace came out of that, and in that covenant, Saul of Tarsus was appointed to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And to him was committed the gospel of the uncircumcision, as unto Peter was committed the gospel of the circumcision. It was the gospel of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's all the same gospel. And for its center is the doctrine of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, that by his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand, God's people are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So Paul was called. The Lord reached out and fetched him. He dragged him off his high horse, smote him down to the earth, and he looked up, and the first thing that came out of his mouth, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He knew it was the Lord. It was Jesus of Nazareth speaking to him. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Look at Philippians 3:12. Philippians 3:12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfected, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus reached out and put the handcuffs of grace on the Apostle Paul and brought him to himself effectually. He didn't try to persuade him. He just did it. And that's the way the Lord does to his people. He gives them life, and they begin to live that life. look at 2 Corinthians 1:21. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he which establisheth you, or establisheth us in Christ Jesus, and hath anointed us, is God. Well, did you do it by your free will? By your choice? By your decision? No, God did it by Jesus Christ. Amen. God apprehended us according to his will because he would. Because he had chosen to do it before the foundation of the world. And he effectually called us to himself and justified us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God and man in one person. He is God who is able to save, and he is man who is able to suffer and die and put away our sin death as far from us as the east is from the west.
Amen.
That's good news. Good news. In Colossians 2:7, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That's verse 6. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now it is a rare and wonderful privilege and honor and joy to know the truth that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
To know him is eternal life. That is our peace and our joy and our happiness in this world and in the world to come. And it is the only true peace and satisfaction and joy that there is in this world, and certainly in the world that is coming, and it's coming soon.
Yes.
Judgments are all around us, and fires and floods and earthquakes and disasters of everything, and different diseases popping up every day. And if people don't think we're under the wrath of God and his reprobation of the minds of men now, I don't know what they're waiting for. But Paul was separated to the gospel of God. Look at Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and separated. He was separated from this world and from his own purposes and from his own determinations, which his purposes and determination was to fight against and overcome Jesus Christ and put him out of business. But God had other plans for him. He had already separated him to be an apostle and a preacher of the gospel, and to build, to found churches, to be a planter of churches, or to establish churches which are built by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So he was called into a vocation which he hadn't chosen. Wasn't according to his free will, wasn't because he was a good Pharisee or anything like that. It was because the Lord Jesus Christ has appointed him to be an apostle before the foundation of the world. And God chose every believer. It's not by accident that men believe the gospel. Nobody can believe this gospel truly in their heart and their conscience bear them witness that they do believe it, except by the power of God. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So we believe through grace. I believe that's Acts 18:37, but we'll not go there because that's just the truth. We believe through grace. An apostle is one who is sent by God. And the Apostle Paul was sent by God the Father and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was sent to preach the gospel. He said, I wasn't sent to baptize, but to preach the gospel. They're an ambassador from the gospel. They are given miraculous powers for the spreading of the gospel, and the office of an apostle is ceased today, And if anybody claims to be an apostle of Christ, he's a liar, because that office is no more. Many of the gifts that went with that office are ceased as well, because there's no need for them now, because we have the New Testament document in our hands, and the faith is established among the people of God, and there is no reason for showy gifts that men can rejoice in and vaunt themselves rather than the Lord Jesus Christ, as was happening in the church of the Corinthians. They were trying to be more holy than the brother. They are laborers. Laborers together with God. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:9. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Now look at these words. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's garden, his husbandry. Ye are God's building. And we're laborers. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Now Christ ascended, and he gave, Ephesians 4:11, and he gave to the church some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. And here's the reason he gave them: for the perfecting of the saints. Now, we're perfect. We are absolutely, when we believe the gospel, we're perfectly justified from all sin, from which we could not be justified by the deeds of the law. We are perfectly holy, absolutely holy, in the holiness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're in him. In him is no sin. He is holy, and we're holy in his holiness. And when we stand before God at judgment, we'll be arrayed with the garments of salvation by him, and we'll be covered by that robe of righteousness that he prepared, and we'll be there holy before God in the holiness of him who is holy, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Well, now, we're already perfect. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. If perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, it's not. It's by Jesus Christ. So we are perfect in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. So who's he talking about here that's supposed to be perfect? I want to introduce you to a term that probably will not be popular among some, but it is the mystic man. It is that body joined to the head, joined to its head, the Lord Jesus Christ, that body of the church, joined to its head, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, which makes one new man, one perfect man. 1 Corinthians 12:12. I'll just turn it over and read it. First Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one just one body. There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism, and so on. There's one body and one that and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is the church of God. Isn't that what it says? So also is Christ mystical. Christ as he has been hid from ages and generations past, but is now revealed to the sons of men by the apostles and prophets that God has sent. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. For this cause I, Paul, the apostle, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now there's a big change there. Under the Old Testament, there was nothing for the Gentiles. But under the New Testament, there is. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward the Gentiles, or to you word, toward the Gentiles. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. The mystery, as I forewrote in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. In ages past, this mystery was hidden. But now it's revealed to the apostles and prophets, and they are to reveal it to the church, to preach it among the church. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promises in Christ by the gospel. Now, it was hinted at under the old, "Loud him ye Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust." It was hinted at in the Old Testament, but it wasn't plainly revealed as it is now. It was a secret then. Now it's gospel truth to be declared in the world. And let's go on. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What it is to be a partaker of this mystery, one of those Gentiles who is grafted into the body of Christ contrary to nature. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful fellowship, partnership, partaking, sharing of the glory that has been revealed and is by the gospel for the Gentiles. That we should be partaker of his glory along with Jewish believers. Let me read you something here in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, 14. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. And I'll begin reading verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God from the beginning. God's heart and mind was always set on us, bringing us into Christ Jesus, the Gentiles. But it was hidden. Wasn't made known to the sons of men. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now imagine a multiplied billions of people just like the Lord Jesus Christ, predestinated to be conformed to his image. We'll have all of his character and all of his perfections in our persons, except his Godhead.
Amen.
But we'll be sharers, as Eve was to share in Adam's dominion over all of creation. So the church will share in Christ's glory and dimension and dominion in the ages to come. Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? His inheritance, and what the exceeding riches of his inheritance in the saints, his inheritance, that Christ Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren who are just identical to him. And I believe, now this, I'm telling you this, what I believe, that I believe that we will be the expression of the character or of the attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ in our own personalities. Mm-hmm. But we'll be conformed to his image. What a day that, and it's near. Every storm that you hear, every clap of thunder, every report of a new earthquake is announcing judgment. The day of judgment is at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ is at the door. What a glad day. What a wonderful day for the people of God who will be at that day and are now dressed in his righteousness. Dressed in his righteousness. Well, as Eve, and we've always been the Lord Jesus. We always have. We're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh of his flesh. And it is he who has created the heavens and the earth and all thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. Jesus Christ is the creator, and the church was in him. We lived in him. We were in him. We were known in him. Adam's rib was in him when he first appeared, when he was created. God knew all of the parts, of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. In thy book were all of my members written, when as yet there was none of them. By the determinate counsel of God, we were in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Luke 6:13. Now the Lord Jesus Christ gathered together his disciples, and he picked out 12 of them, and he called them apostles. Ones that were sent. Luke 6:13. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue, and where am I at here? I'm verse 13. Luke 6:13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he called apostles. He's the chief cornerstone, and these are foundation stones in the temple that the Lord Jesus Christ is building. This is a spiritual house. Look at John 20:21. And we'll begin reading in verse 17. John 20, we'll read from verses 17 down through 21. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Now this was at the tomb. When he had been resurrected. Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Well, his sheep hear his voice, and they know him. So she knew who it was. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni. Which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend to my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and to your God. Believers, that's us. God is our Father. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, there the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his feet. Then were the disciples glad, and they saw the Lord. You know, it's going to be something when he shows us himself, his hands and his feet, his side. It's going to be a morning of joy. A joyous morning. Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He sent the apostles. The apostle Paul, of course, he was the apostle of the Gentiles. He was sent to the Gentiles. The Jews refused to hear him, so he said, We turn to the Gentiles. And he was sent by Jesus Christ and by God the Father. Look at Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. He was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ and by God the Father. Look at Titus 1:1. Well, if I could find Titus, I'd be in good shape here. Paul, a servant of God. He was a servant. We are servants. And it is the office of a servant to obey the word of our God. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and to the acknowledging of the truth, which is after God, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Go back to 1 Corinthians 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Wasn't through Paul's will, wasn't through the church's will. It was through the will of God. And the Holy Ghost said to them, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, and I'll send them to the Gentiles. It was through the will of God. By the which will, the will of God, Hebrews 10:10, we are sanctified. All of the people of God are sanctified, not by what we do, not by our actions, but by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. We're sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And he did it only one time. We're holy in that holiness that is of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not appear before the throne of God as strangers and ashamed. Well, you say, well, I'm not such a wonderful person. Well, I ain't either. But I believe what the word said, that we're holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're covered with his righteousness, and God hath put on us the garment of his salvation. It's his work. God took our salvation into his own hands and took it out of our hands. And he it is that delivers us from this present evil world into his presence with all joy. And he's going to make us joyful in that day. Let me read you just a couple of scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 6:16-17. Now I know this verse is 1 Corinthians 6:16-17. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? Now if you want further confirmation on that, you can look back at verse 15 and it explains it. For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Amen.
That's the word of God. That settles it. There's no debate. No argument. It's according to God's will. It's his purpose. It's by his redemption, by his Savior. And there's no argument. We're one spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at Ephesians 2:15. Ephesians 2:15. having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, of Jew and Gentile, one brand new man. Christ, and that new man is Christ Jesus, the head, joined to his body, the church, which is made up of both Jews and Gentiles.
Amen.
Now go back to chapter 3. We left off in verse 9, I think. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, this one new man, which is that body of which Christ Jesus is the head, called Christ, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
This has been God's purpose, his determination from everlasting. And the Lord Jesus Christ will say in that day, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. They all come believing. They all come having renounced their own righteousness, their own holiness, their own will. They want the will and purpose of God in their lives. They want to love Him perfectly. And in that day they will, being perfectly conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll never be that here, but we are as perfect now as we will be then in the eyes of God. He told Noah, you only have I seen righteous in the earth. Amen. Well, we're thankful for those things. Sosthenes was the ruler of the synagogue at Corinth. And there was an uproar, and they beat him before the governor of the city, and the governor of the city, he didn't care. But the Lord Jesus did. All right.